regular schedule of City of Mount Clark City Council work session for December 13th, 2023. Thank you all for being here tonight. We're going to amend the agenda. We had one item that was added inadvertently that does not need to be on here. Under new business, discussion of Zero Spruce Street City Lot, Igor. Go ahead and strike that. Take that off the agenda. That will not be today. We are going to vote up or down on the variance that was requested at last month's meeting. We did not have a motion, did not have a second, and did not have a vote. But I think, as the city attorney pointed out, because of the application, we needed to close the application out. It needs to be voted on and be dispensed with. So we're not going to have it as a discussion. I think all that's taking place tonight. But I'm going to ask Brandon to explain, one, the section of code that addresses this issue and what it says, and then what the city council's options are, because I just spoke to him, and I think this is worth everyone hearing. So.
Okay, so the variance provision of the code, like many variance provisions, provides that you're not going to, variances should not be granted if it's a, let me back up, variances are supposed to be granted
for undue hardship.
To resolve an undue hardship. And the ordinance, like most, provides that the variance should not be granted if the hardship is created by the person who's asking for the variance. So, any applicant is entitled to a decision on their application. If the council finds that the hardship was created by the applicant, then the appropriate motion consistent with that statute would be to deny the variance. If the council finds that the hardship was created for some other reason, then the variance may be appropriate, depending on what other facts were found.
So they would have the option of voting to approve that variance in direct conflict with that ordinance if they felt like it was.
If they felt like the hardship was not solely created by the actions of the person who is asking for the variance.
All right. And the only reason I ask you to explain this is because in this particular case, the individual hired someone to do this work, and they are the ones. So whether it's here or there, I feel like it was worth mentioning that maybe it was not of this person's own volition, but because they were having someone do the work, they created the undue hardship. So anyway, yes, sir, you had a question.
Brandon, could you comment on the role of timing in this? Like for instance, if someone built something without getting zoning, getting a building permit for it, and they did it and then came to us after the fact, versus someone saying, hey, I would like to build something and coming. Does timing have anything to do with it?
Well, I think, you know, ultimately the council is deciding the facts that determine whether or not the variance should issue. And those are relevant facts. You know, I mean, if the application was submitted beforehand, and properly shown, possibly the hardship could have been avoided altogether. So I think that's something the council can consider in making its determination.
So it's only a consideration, not a...
It's not determinative.
Okay.
All right. Did anyone else have any questions, comments? So we will be making a motion, and we will be voting on that variance on the upcoming city council meeting.
Okay.
So, all right. First item under unfinished business is the discussion of the variance for 100 Silver Bell Court. That's what we were talking about. Next item is rodent control at City Hall. So, got some really exciting topics this evening going. Who wants to take this one?
I will.
All right. Thank you.
Rodents. All right, so everybody got my little, and thank you, I followed your format. It was a little easier to follow. You know, as I mentioned before, it comes down to poison or no poison. The price is so significantly more expensive not using poison. And Wes with Home Free, I mean, he is adamant that it's not going, the poison is not enough to kill the other wildlife in our city. If a bald eagle, first of all, rodents ingest the poison, they don't run around, so a bald eagle can eat them, or a hawk, they go down into their burrows. So it's very, very rare, if it happens at all. Some scientific studies say that there is some lingering effects from the chemicals, but I think we got to trust the people that do this all the time, and the cost, year one, for Home Free is $2,275 compared to, it's almost double for everybody else, except Bragg, but they just use an herbal mixture to repel rodents and wildlife. I've tried that at my house, at my cabin, it does not work.
Yeah,
it smells good, but it
peppermint and something like that.
Yeah, mint and all kinds of things, it does not work. So I'm recommending that we go with Home Free because the cost, year one, $2,275. They also offer insect control, which he will do all buildings that are currently being done for $690 a year. It's bi-monthly, not monthly. And the annual fee for the rodent monitoring is waived if we're using them for pest control. So they just seem to be the best all around. They do rehome, he calls it appropriate wildlife is rehomed. If the animals that are trapped are on the Georgia destructive animal list, they are not required to rehome them, but they still do it if they can. Any questions?
All right, yes.
Home Free does rehoming as well, just not rodents, is that, or not the destructive species?
That's who I was talking about.
Okay, I saw that also under peach tree. So do they
Home Free
in the same way?
Yes, okay. They do, okay. But not rodents.
But and they dispose of, humanely dispose of rodents as well with peach trees. So they're all basically doing the same thing. Any that's on the destructive list, mm-hmm. they're humanely getting rid of them.
Right.
And the others are rehoming.
I think the difference is that the Home Free would use poison, so that's not a humane termination, extermination. Poison, I think, is kind of, I don't think if you ask the...
Right. Well, maybe that's not a...
Right. There are other ways.
Okay.
you know those ways?
Well, that's why I was going humane.
Right. Yeah, right. I really don't want to think about the rodent, poor rat, but...
Yeah.
That movie, Ben, right. You're too.
Well, let's talk about being in City Hall when you hear things scurrying across the ceiling, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
But we also, I did the 5-year cost, peach tree, $8,460, critter control, almost $8,000, West with Home Free, 5 years, without insects is $1,675. With insect control, $2,925, and the annual fee is waived again if we use them for both.
All right. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, Bragg. They come in much higher because it was all humane. Everything is trapped and released. There's killing at all.
Yeah.
Did you happen to get a chance to ask him if they have an option that looks a little bit more
I did.
And I could easily do I've done that.
All right.
Sorry, but if you want to before Monday night, call him again. Yeah, that'd be fine.
All right.
Sorry if I missed that.
No, I think it's.
Well, put this down with your name on it for the meeting.
Correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
All right, moving on to new business. First item has been scratched. Second item for new business discussion, renewing the GoGov app for another year. Who wants to handle take this one? All right, thank you.
So the GoGov app currently has 276 downloads. And so those are, and I think we've asked for the most recent update. That was per the last count. So 276 users have downloaded the app. Of those, we have 100 registered users. Those are people that have put in their name and their address and phone number. The benefit to that is you can actually determine what type of notifications you would prefer to receive. So if you only want weather-related or you only want events, you know, whatever it is, you can select your preferences. We're really encouraging people to register because that's the way that we know who's using it, really. The download count could be the same person on two different devices. It's just number of downloads. So I just ask that anyone that really likes the app, if you would register so that we can count you and kind of know who you are, know what sort of presence it truly has here in the city. That would be very helpful. I get a lot of feedback. I think people know that I've worked through on the app. Was a part of that working group that actually selected GoGov and My Mountain Park as the app provider. And I get a lot of anecdotal feedback. People love the app, that they have actually attended city events and felt like they were more a part of the community in a way that they wouldn't have before because they just wouldn't have known what was going on. And so there is a segment of the population, I think, that really relies on that to get their news. People who are not on social media, but they do want to be connected. So I'm going to, you know, share some of that feedback. I think as I get it, I'm going to try to get some of that specifically for people that have gone out of their way to pass it along. But from what I've seen, it's been a success in the first year.
May I add something to this? I was just going to say, I will say that leaving some of the information on there has been beneficial. I had someone call me about a situation, and I knew that there was information on the app.
Yes.
And it was easy enough to just take it and send it to this person so that they could deal with the situation, which is what, you know, would have been normally the case.
And that was actually based on resident feedback. Someone was looking for just that very thing. They said, I remember seeing it. It's not there.
I'm glad it was still there, is what I'm saying.
We archived it. We actually pulled it out of archive so that it would be active again. Cool. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Councilperson.
So just for my clarification, mm-hmm. registering means that you actually put your name in there.
Yes.
And all the information, you say what notifications you want.
Right.
So if you just download it, are you still getting the notifications?
You're getting every notification. You don't get to select the ones. If you're someone that just wants minimal, you might like that. Just, you know, major weather alerts, and you don't want to hear about civic club events or, you know, whatever it may be, you can narrow it down so that you only get that type of notification. Okay. When we send out a notification, we select the type, and so that just wouldn't go to those residents. In order to register, when you go on the app, it has to be done on a mobile device. You go to the home screen. It's the top left-hand corner. There's a box with three horizontal lines. When you click on that, it's a simple form, maybe 5 or 6 lines that you fill out. I don't think you have to put everything in it, put as much as you're comfortable with, but that makes you official with the app. And again, it just helps us kind of see how many actual residents are signed up and using it.
All right. Any other questions or comments about the app?
Yes. I am curious, do we have any idea yet how well this will marry with our new Civic Plus website?
They're not connected in any way. We have discussed, I think what you might remember is there's an option through GoGov that would provide the after hours notifications that we've been looking at a solution for how do people contact the city on the weekends or the evenings. Mm-hmm. GoGov could actually add a button to the app if we wanted to have that be the place that people send that sort of notification. But we found that Civic Plus and the new website actually has a web forms application. People can go to the website and send it in, but now I'm thinking the app does connect up with the website. So there is a chance that we could put a link at least, that there could be a button on the app that the link would bring you to a specific place on the website.
Yeah.
That's where the web
I'd like to see.
I'm going to see if we can see if that's a possibility. Thank you for that.
Anyone else? All right, we look forward to hearing if there's any motions or anything else. I'm going to have it under your name.
Sounds great.
Next item is discussion of traffic calming devices. I put this on here because I have been meaning to, Bill and I made a trip up to Ball Ground and we saw some really effective traffic calming devices, and before I no longer get a chance to have a say, I wanted to bring it up. I took these pictures over in Milton and I thought those were pretty effective because they narrow the lanes at the crosswalk, but the ones that I saw that were most effective, I did not get a picture of those, were basically islands on either side that makes the traffic slow down to go through a narrow gap, which means that oncoming traffic you know, somebody has to stop, and somebody gets to go through, and somebody has to proceed through. Those were to me, very effective. They've got them in subdivisions. I'm trying to think. There's one off Spalding Drive that had these little islands, and you had to slow down, and you had to, you know, whoever got there first got to go through. The second car had to wait. So that, and we saw, and I showed these to Wanda yesterday in the chamber, the rubber speed bumps. I mean, not the tables, which like we currently have, but these are speed bumps, and they are rubber, so they you know, we don't have to paint them. They seem to be fairly durable, and they can be easily replaced if they needed to, but these are pretty effective too, I think, at getting your attention and as far as how fast you're going. So, Bill, do you have anything you want to add to that?
They have the built-in reflectors also for nighttime.
Right, right. Yeah, they're very similar. They were glad that it had yellow caution coloring with reflectors. And you know you're going really fast when you cross those. So I hope this is something that we've been working on this since I was on city council and I was on the public safety committee, which has been a few years ago. So I hope that we do finally come up with a solution that will make people feel more comfortable about all of the traffic that cuts through here from north, from unincorporated Cherokee County to North Fulton, and I hope we can find a solution because it is a dangerous thing, especially with as many deer as we have in here right now. So, yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to mention that I've recently discovered AAA grants for traffic safety.
Oh, good.
But, you know, you don't just apply for a grant and say, hey, we want some rubber speed bumps. We have to have research, we have to know which thing we want, how many of them, exact cost. So I just wanted to get that out there that there is a pretty good grant for this, and I think it's quarterly. So if we don't do it in January, we can do it later in the year. But we have to know exactly what we want, what we're trying to accomplish, what the outcome is, what are our objectives. A lot of information is needed.
Well, I think that what we need to seriously look at is the Mountain Park Road, especially, and there are a couple of ancillary roads that are, you know, that have a lot of traffic. You know, I know that Cedar Street seems to be one of the streets that people cut up to avoid going all the way around on Mountain Park. But with that said, I think some of you have already looked at the traffic book that
MUTC,
something like that. Yeah. And we do have a lot of stop signs that are being used for the wrong reason, and they need to be removed because they do, you know, that is not how you. If it's a dangerous situation, then sure, you need a stop sign. Much like the Plum Street when it comes out of Lakeshore, because you can't see in either direction. And if somebody's not stopping, somebody happens to be pulling out. So, but there are certainly a number of stop signs that probably could be removed and would be missed. Yes, ma'am?
I have seen this kind that you're showing in the photograph on Triple Road in Sandy Springs. I don't know if y'all have been down that road. You can get to it from Peachtree Dunwoody and go north. It used to go all the way through to Northside Hospital, no more. But beautifully done, beautifully constructed, very expensive. I looked into this back in 2020, and this was an option we considered, and it is very expensive. I had actually seen a much less expensive option, basically a crosswalk, but about twice as wide, made with a completely different material. It was rough cut granite stone. Looks beautiful, and boy, will you slow down when you go over it because your car goes.
So it's a rough surface.
And it's real pretty. If you guys want me to send you a picture of it, much less expensive than this. Just thought I'd throw it out there.
Well, if I can say for the record, those speed humps are more like a thrill
ride
than
those little
the
rubber strips.
Isn't somebody working with Linda and you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because where I always get stopped on this is hearing. Well, we have illegal stop signs.
Yes.
We have illegal this. We have illegal that. And doesn't all of that need to be straightened out before we can just, I mean, what if we put something like this in and boom, it's illegal too.
And I guess that's my point. My point is it needs to be researched. It needs to be determined what is legal and what type of calming devices like that would be acceptable and legal and what we currently have that isn't. And that is... pretty much the point. Yes, sir.
And we asked, you know, Safeville or any of the other consultants that assist the city, if they've got a traffic engineer that might recommend.
ISC?
I can ask ISC and see if they do. I don't think Safeville does, but I can always double check and see if Safeville does.
I mean, it's got to be a resource where we can find out without having to read that whole book. Even though some of us have.
And I did that.
Yeah.
I met with a traffic engineer with the city of Roswell last week, and I have his card in my purse. I don't have his name on my head, but he is more than willing to meet with us and go over all of this.
Really?
Good.
Yes.
Yes.
Good. Well, good. I hope this carries forward, and in 2024 we finally can strike that off the list of aggravations. So.
All right.
Anybody else have anything they want to add? Next item on the agenda is the community building painting project. I'm going to let Robin, I think you're, were you telling us what the, I know Trish is going to talk about it, but you want to tell everyone?
Yes. The background to this is that the Civic Club has been researching and have found acoustic panels that will go on the walls to begin with. That will supposedly help us hear better in here, because it is pretty bad sometimes. They're beautiful, much prettier than I was expecting, but when Trish brought in the samples and we're picking colors, we thought, why do we want to match those to old paint when we know that at some point we want to paint the interior of this building? So Trish went ahead and got one quote for painting inside this building.
I'll have four.
And she'll have more before we meet next Monday.
Yeah.
So I was gonna let Trish go ahead, and did you wanna go ahead and
tell us anything about it?
Yeah, basically I chose two of the companies because they had interior design capabilities as well as painting, which I thought might be, they might come up with some really nice solution for us. So I chose two for that, and then two for just good painters. And I'll have all those quotes by next Monday, and I can present them to the council, and then you all can choose who would like to do the job. And that way we can get this painted, and then by the next Civic Club meeting, I will have all my quotes in for the panels, because I have two more that I'd like to get, and then I can present that at the next council meeting.
All right.
Did the quote include painting, doing anything with that roll and ball? Mm-hmm. Good. Okay. Which I think, I don't know, now that I see it's all stained, if I'm going to leave the stain and only paint the top. But my hope is, let's see, the one quote you got was over $1,100, just so people know what kind of money we're talking about here.
Yeah, the quote was for the walls and the columns only was $750. The ceiling is $350. We can choose to do that or not, but probably we would want to do it. And then the subtotal, including the paint, is $1,100, which I think is pretty good.
And I'm sure that includes patching the holes and the dings and all of the, because I know we've taken some abuse over the years, which I hate to see.
Yeah.
But there's several down there.
My question is, can we use the port fund that's been sitting in the bank account for decades, since that's the judge's bench over there? And this
is that really the judge's bench?
Yes.
Yes. Behind us. And this is the courtroom.
I would think so. I probably would run it by the judge before doing it, but that seems to be reasonable to me.
Yeah, to just use the court fund funds for fixing this up.
Clean up the courtroom.
Yeah. All right. Good.
Okay. Cool.
All
right. All right. Go ahead.
Yes.
Let's go by the judge first.
Yeah.
Does he have to approve the color?
No.
Well, we'll remind me. We'll reach out to Judge Levinson and we'll find out. I need to reach out to him anyway.
So I just sent him a paycheck, so.
Yeah.
Wait until it clears.
So he controls the court fund.
I'm not sure that he does off the top of my head.
Just be nice.
Lewis has been great.
Yes.
You know, he's a friend of Karen's, and we are fortunate that he has continued to work with us even after her departure. So I certainly think that, you know, he would be more than willing to work with us on this. He's been a great person. So. All right, any other comments or questions for the general public? We have a executive session, personnel matters we need to have a discussion about, so I'm going to ask everyone that unless they have something else to bring to the city council, please enjoy the rest of your evening, be safe going home, and stay warm.
We do need to have a motion.
We need a motion to go into
executive. All right, so we'll have a chair will entertain a motion to go into executive
session. Motion to go into executive session.
For the reason or purpose of personnel.
Personality.
Yes. Second, a motion, we have a second. All those in favor? All right. It was unanimous. Thank you.
Oh. Thank you.
Motion to
adjourn. We need second chairs.
Less than an hour.